Welcome to Coastal Cafe. I'm Marianne Wagner, your host today. Coastal Cafe is a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the University of Washington's College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Tis the holiday season, a time when buying and wrapping gifts are a big part of our holiday traditions. And today we have something a little different to share with you, holiday decorating and gift suggestions that do not end up in the ocean or on our beaches. We'll be talking about upcycling materials to create ocean-friendly holiday decor and wrapped gifts. And to help us learn how we can be more ocean-friendly during the holiday season, we have with us Sarah Kolar, International Coastal Cleanup Outreach Manager with Ocean Conservancy. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, Marianne. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
Yes. Well, before we dive into holiday ideas, tell us first a little bit about Ocean Conservancy's mission and purpose.
Sure. So Ocean Conservancy is a nonprofit organization. We're about 45 years old. We're based in Washington, D.C., where I'm located today, or joining you from today. And we work to protect the ocean from today's greatest global challenges. So this includes plastic pollution, which we'll talk more about, but also climate change, ocean acidification, overfishing, and a few others. So together with our partners, we create science-based solutions for a healthy ocean, not only for the wildlife that we love, but also for the communities that depend on it. And there's more information that can be found at our website, which is just oceanconservancy.org.
When Ocean Conservancy started out in 1971, that's 50 years ago.
Yes.
Congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you.
So when you started out, the focus was on banning whale hunting. Now, what are the priorities?
Yeah, as I mentioned, you know, we tend to tackle the greatest threats facing the ocean today. So that has evolved over time. I would say some of the key work streams that have remained constant are Arctic regional, like Arctic conservation program. We've always had a fisheries program. And then trash-free seas, the program that I'm on, has really been kind of one of the cornerstones of our work. And really the backbone of the trash-free seas program, the work that I do, is an annual cleanup event that began in 1986. This is called the International Coastal Cleanup. It actually began at Texas Gulf Coast Beach by a couple of predecessors of our organization that had a different name and look at the time. And we were much smaller back then, but they had the wherewithal to not only clean up what was found on their beach, but actually track the types and amount of trash that were found. And volunteers continue this tradition today at an event that pulls millions of volunteers out to their local waterways and coastlines to do the cleanup. So my work is heavily involved in that. And it's an honor to kind of be part of that 36-year now tradition of the International Coastal Cleanup.
Your title of International Coastal Cleanup Manager suggests that you work across the globe, though. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We see ourselves as the information hub and the glue that keeps this annual movement together. So we have many external partners. I think our network now is about 500 plus organizations, other fellow nonprofits, universities, different student groups, or even people who are just passionate about keeping our oceans free of trash that work with us year round, really, to plan this annual event. And they also host cleanups year round as well in many locations. So I do get to work with a number of external partners outside of the US and in just about every US state as well.
Oh, well, today we are going to talk about ways that we as individuals can make a difference by upcycling materials to create ocean-friendly holiday decor and wrapped gifts. And what does it mean to upcycle?
Yeah, upcycle is just a fancy way of saying reusing things in a creative way. So in particular, we're kind of referring to reusing items that would typically be thrown away after a single use, or what I'll refer to as single use items. A lot of these are plastic, not all of them are, but that's essentially what we mean by upcycle.
I saw some examples on your website for decor ideas using objects that are hard to recycle. I like this one, using plastic bottles to make a holiday tree decoration. Can you share a few others?
Yeah, absolutely. So also on that same blog, there was one, I actually did it with my niece and nephew who are six. They really enjoyed this one, but using little plastic bottle caps or even metal bottle caps, flipping them inside out or kind of flipping them over and creating different tree ornaments or even holiday magnets from paper, just using glue, paint, and some other, you know, kind of common household craft items that you might have lying around makes for a good activity when we're all on that holiday break.
Well, making holiday purchasing choices too that help reduce the single-use plastic waste created by the holiday might include what, for example?
And, you know, I should note too, during this time period between Thanksgiving and New Year's, Americans, we throw away 25% more trash. So it's really important for us to do our part to reduce the amount that, you know, that we're using or the amount of trash that we're creating, recycling as much as we can. And then of course, upcycling is a great way to give an item that second life. So wrap, holiday wrap is probably one of the most common items that we're purchasing this time of the year. And a lot of these items are paper or a lot of these items are heavy on paper, but some of them now have sort of a plastic film to them. So a good test just when you're out purchasing holiday wrap, if you're able to see a sample of it and ball it up and kind of feel if it's paper, if it stays in a ball, that's usually a good sign that it's more on the paper content than the plastic content and it will be recyclable. If wrap has that shiny film to it, likely it's got a plastic layer and then it's not as recyclable. So just kind of keep an eye out for those papers that really do look more on heavy on the side of paper content. I even use just brown craft paper to wrap up my gifts, or even the cartoon section of newspaper is a great idea, just wrapping gifts that way. And then the final tip that we've seen kind of up an uptick in recently are stores offering cloth wrap options. So I've bought a couple of cloth, almost like a bandana of really cool fabric, wrapping up some of my, some of the books, for example, on my list for folks so that they can reuse that wrap fabric again, or keep it and use it in their own day-to-day life. So no paper at all, just a reusable cloth.
You know, that's a great suggestion. I have a suitcase filled with materials, scraps from sewing projects. Those could be used for wrapping paper. Yeah. And my husband loves to wrap things in newspaper. And I like the idea of using comics because they're more colorful and people can read them afterwards.
Absolutely. And I should add too that trying to just avoid, if you are going out to purchase paper, avoid wrap that has any glitter on it. That can often shed. It often creates a mess anyway for the unwrapping scene at your house. So avoiding glitter is usually good. Glitter itself can kind of shed off the paper and is actually part of the microplastics problem. So we're not big fans of glitter shedding and escaping into the environment. It gets very difficult to clean up.
I never even thought of glitter as something that would end up in the ocean before, but it is synthetic material, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. It's a form of microplastic. So once those microplastics get out into the environment, you know, you think about glitter being small, but it will even just break down into further and further pieces. And we don't really know how long plastics persist in the environment. So especially those little plastics, they get picked up in the food chain very easily. Saw recent studies that 60% of fish that were studied globally had these microplastics in their stomach content. That's not to say that it's all glitter, but glitter does contribute to that.
Can you repeat that statistic? Say that again.
Yeah, so a recent study found that 60% of fish studied globally contained microplastics in their gut or their stomach content.
Amazing. So Should we avoid using glitter at all times, anytime?
We would recommend kind of from an ocean standpoint, yes, if possible. And there are biodegradable glitters out there on the market. We just tend to recommend avoiding them altogether because it can be difficult to understand, you know, what is and is not biodegradable. There isn't a lot of regulations on packaging when it comes to that sort of, biodegradable or even compostable plastic. So avoiding it altogether is the best option. And really those plastics that say they're biodegradable, when they get out into the ocean, they're still kind of acting the same way as regular plastic. A lot of those plastics that are compostable or degradable need really specific environment in order to degrade, right? They need like the high heat and pressure of like industrial composting. And they're just, you're not going to see that out in the open ocean or in any waterways. So even the biodegradable plastics are not so great for our marine life and really all waterway ecosystems.
That's a really good point you're making, that biodegradable is, it's nuanced and very specific conditions are required.
Right. If you know locally that you've got industrial compost, which is wonderful, that's a great option. It's not so widespread in our country quite yet.
Well, now tell us about the Ugly Holiday Sweater campaign.
Yeah, so we love a good holiday ugly or ugly holiday sweater at Ocean Conservancy. But really, it's kind of the fashion world's equivalent to single-use plastics, right? They're an item that we tend to buy online. We only use once or twice, and then we discard it. So for Ocean Conservancy, for the environment in general, that comes with some negative consequences. It contributes to greenhouse gas emissions, to water pollution. And then even the fibers themselves on a lot of these kind of fast fashion sweaters are created from polyester, which is a type of plastic resin. And these types of sweaters often shed those fibers. It's called microfibers. And they're also a type of microplastic. You know, speaking of glitter being one type, microfibers are another. So anything that we can do to reuse fabrics that already exist, get creative with creating your own ugly sweater. Ocean Conservancy is encouraging that. Or if you're not feeling really creative, just going out to your secondhand clothing store locally, and you're likely to find an ugly holiday sweater from last year's batch, or just a really cool vintage sweater that you can use for your events this year.
So these sweaters aren't just hard to look at. They're also hard on our ocean because they are the fashion world's equivalent to single-use plastics, often only worn once. That's a really good point. I mean, how often are you going to wear this sweater before being discarded? And people do love their ugly holiday sweaters, though. So instead, you are recommending... Do you want to go into a little more detail about what some options are?
Sure. I had some colleagues make some really wonderful examples, and I'd be happy to send you some photos. There was one that had, you know, with some craft glue, there was a tree, and then you can use bottle caps. Again, can become really cool 3D ornaments on a giant Christmas tree sweater. There was another with plastic bags kind of sewn on or glued on in a way that showed like a snowy landscape or snowscape. And then even a lot of food wrappers, especially those that have that metallic inside. Like if you think of like the metallic inside of a candy bar wrapper, those can be kind of cut into all sorts of different shapes and glued on to really create that kind of 3D effect to your ugly holiday sweater.
I'm also thinking of other ideas now too. I mean, you could get fabric paint and just an old sweater and draw a Santa face on it or a hat. You can do your own thing, right? And that would still make a sweater.
Yeah, absolutely. And even like you mentioned, the fabrics that you keep on hand, the spare fabric scraps, that you can use that in a number of ways. I have a family friend who actually saves old holiday sweaters, or maybe they've lived their life as a sweater, but she still loves the fabric, or she'll find old blankets or fabric from secondhand clothing stores. And she actually creates each of her family members a unique stocking from that fabric. So it, you know, not only becomes a gift for that person, but it's upcycled and given a second, third, or even fourth life.
So there's an idea. Make stockings out of old ugly sweaters. I love that. That's a great idea. So if you're just joining us, this is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. And I am Marianne Wagner, today's host of Coastal Cafe. And we're speaking with Sarah Kolar with Ocean Conservancy about holiday ideas that are friendly to the ocean. Single-use plastic items like straws, bags, bottle caps, and food wrappers make up a huge portion of the trash we see along our beaches. So many objects we use are made of plastic, though, or they're wrapped in it. So what can an individual do?
That's a great question. We spoke earlier about the annual International Coastal Cleanup that Ocean Conservancy hosts. So that's always my first response. If folks do want to get out and take action, you're always welcome to join a cleanup during the International Coastal Cleanup, which is usually around the third Saturday of September each year, but has really become a year-round movement. And volunteers can do this even on their own if they can't find a local community, a cleanup event to join. We have an app called CleanSwell. And CleanSwell, you can download it onto any device. It's free. And it allows you to track your trash cleanup. So maybe you're going for a walk after a holiday meal, even just around the neighborhood. You don't even have to be on a beach or a coastline. And if you, you know, if your family, you want to have that be an activity and just pick up any trash or litter that you see along the way, you can track your impact on the app. And those data, they automatically submit into an online database that myself and my team manage all of that information on these common consumer single-use items. Really does help drive solutions. And all those numbers add up and are fantastic evidence, you know, not only for the science and understanding the problem, but for creating policy change as well.
Can you restate the name of this app?
Yes, the app is called CleanSwell.
Fascinating. Yeah. Great. And that is a free app available?
Free on Apple or Android devices. I think if you just search in the Google Play or Apple Store, CleanSwell should be the first thing that comes up.
Great. Ocean Conservancy is a science-based organization. You've mentioned that a couple of times, and you strongly believe that each individual can make a positive difference for our ocean. So to inspire us, do you have an example where one individual made a difference?
Yeah, you know, the first story that always comes to mind, I mean, I'm very much rooted in this annual International Coastal Cleanup. So to share a little bit more about how that began, it really was two individuals. It was two women, Linda Moranis, as well as Kathy O'Hara. They had worked at Ocean Conservancy's predecessor organization, kind of still based here in the Washington, D.C. area. But for a time, it did move to the Texas Gulf Coast. And they were just walking together, you know, having a conversation on the beach one day, noting all of the plastic that they were seeing on that beach back in 1986, and wondering, how is this getting here? Why is this here? You know, there are trash cans not far from here. Is this plastic coming from somewhere else, or did it start here in the U.S.? So they started, you know, they had this idea of, you know, let's just do a cleanup. Cleanups aren't really novel, but they did have this idea of let's track what we're finding. So they kind of created their own data card, if you will, of all these common trash items and kept a tally. They reached out to the Texas General Land Office and other local businesses to kind of get them on board. I think they even shared flyers locally to kind of get other ocean lovers to kind of come out for this one day of we're going to pick up this trash and we're going to keep data on it as well. And then from there, I mean, the rest is history, we say, but it has really blossomed into this global movement that kind of runs on its own. You know, whether people know that Ocean Conservancy hosts it or not, it's just beautiful that they know, like, third Saturday in September, I think this is a coastal cleanup day. I'm going to go out and find an event, or I'm going to go do one on my own. And we have a number of those same tools. You know, I just mentioned the CleanSwell app that basically is taking that paper data card that I just talked about that they created and moving it into the 21st century for people to record their items that way. But we still have the paper data card and we, you know, with these materials that we ship out to partners, there's a huge educational component to it as well that I really think is Linda's and Kathy's legacy of, you know, I think maybe intentionally or unintentionally, they created this moment of, you know, when volunteers are out and they're recording their 100th cigarette butt during a cleanup. They're like, wow, these are items that we see every day or that we use in our everyday lives. Things like plastic beverage bottles and food wrappers. And what can I do about it in my day-to-day life to make sure that straw might not end up on the beach here? So not only is the data great for our work, but it provides this really awesome reflective moment for the volunteers.
You mentioned a time of year that this is held every year. What is that?
Yes. So there is an official International Coastal Cleanup Day, which is the third Saturday of September. I think next year in 2022, that's Saturday, this the 17th of September. So the date itself sort of shifts around. But the great thing is that now it's more of an ICC cleanup season, if you will. So cleanups take place all throughout September, October, and really even towards the end of the year, depending on where you live in the world. Sometimes there's different weather events or religious or national holidays that we need to work around. So we have a map on our website each year that can direct volunteers to their closest community cleanup.
I'm going to have to check out that map. Yeah. But can you tell us what are the most commonly collected items on these days?
Yeah. So for many years, cigarette butts were the number one collected item worldwide. They remain the number one item collected in the United States. And I think this has a lot to do with just kind of misinformation that, oh, these will biodegrade, right? They're made of paper, but there's actually a plastic fiber filter in the inside of each cigarette butt. So kind of, we know a little bit about that source of, you know, that's probably just an action of litter, and we need to kind of shift our behavior change there. Other common items: food wrappers, plastic beverage bottles, plastic and metal bottle caps. And then in particular, we've seen a big uptick in plastic and foam takeout or takeaway containers. And, you know, there's a number of reasons behind this. Mainly, there has been a big shift in the way that we order food, the way we have food delivered, especially right now during the pandemic. Many of us, I'm included, have done a lot more of ordering food in. And so there are a lot more of those types of single-use containers that we're finding at cleanups as well.
There are recyclable options for food containers. Is that correct?
There are, yes, but it can be a little deceiving with, you know, a lot of these items will have that chasing arrow symbol that we think is synonymous with recyclability, but that's not always the case. And recyclability differs depending on where you're located. So we always encourage folks, you know, because we get a lot of questions about, is this recyclable? Is that recyclable? And it's really confusing for the consumer. And it's not the consumer's fault. We've kind of have a pretty broken recycling system in the US. If you think about, like, nationally, our recycling rate is pretty low. And it's because it's confusing for the consumer and it's different everywhere. So we encourage folks to go and do a little bit of research. Check with your local, like, waste authority or waste management companies. See what is accepted where you live and how they would like recyclables to be accepted. I know in our area, in my area, they want recyclables to be loose. You know, they don't want you to put it in a plastic bag because plastic bags can actually mess with the machinery at these material sorting facilities. So they say, like, put your loose recyclables in the bin, no need to bag them. Just little things like that that we can kind of educate ourselves on to make sure that we're recycling to the best of our ability. And just know that the chasing arrows don't always mean it's recyclable. So you kind of have to do that little extra research.
Well, where do you recommend we go to get to do that research or to get that information?
Usually a local, like a town or municipality website, they'll have information about whether it's a kind of a recycling or waste management agency that they use within, like, say, a county or municipality. They should have that information on their webpage. Oftentimes they'll actually have public facing things like stickers that you can put on your bins, just helpful reminders, refrigerator magnets that can show you what goes in that bin, what goes in the other bin.
So go to your local county
or municipality website. Yes, they should have their recycling tips there for folks to see.
It is confusing. I read on your website, 6 in 10 Americans made incorrect assumptions about the recyclability of common plastic food containers.
Yes, it's confusing. I know I've been getting a lot in kind of that black plastic with the clear lid. I get a lot of my takeout food in those. And unfortunately, black plastic is a challenge to recycle. So I think in my area, unfortunately, it's hard plastic. So it feels like it should be recyclable, but it's not. And I think we did an analysis recently of the 35 years worth of International Coastal Cleanup data of all the trash categories that have come in over the years. And about 70% of that was effectively unrecyclable. So these are items like those thin plastic food wrappers, cigarette butts, all these items are basically not recyclable in a typical kind of curbside recycling system you'd picture here in the US.
That's remarkable.
Yeah, it's a little scary. And then to add on top of that, it's still confusing for the consumer. And like you said, we've done a couple of different surveys to try to gauge what Americans are doing now with food delivery container options, and then, you know, their understanding of what can and cannot be recycled.
What is the deadliest trash to wildlife? I'm thinking now about wildlife and how they're dealing with it. What's the deadliest?
Great question. We actually did a study on this back about 5 years ago, and we basically surveyed experts in the marine field to understand what they witnessed really like in the field of the most threatening debris items to marine wildlife, specifically looking at marine mammals and sea turtles and shorebirds. And abandoned, lost, and discarded fishing gear was the number one item on that list, which isn't too surprising because, as we know, these gear items that are lost, which we call ghost gear, they tend to continue to do their job, whether they're intentionally or unintentionally lost off of vessels. Ghost gear is definitely number one threat to wildlife. But then right after that, the rest of the list was just general consumer items, things like plastic bags, plastic utensils, balloons and the string that are tied to them, all of kind of pose this threat of either entanglement on the wildlife or the animals kind of interacting with it in their environment, or through ingestion of them accidentally consuming that item, thinking it's their food, and then it's plastic in their stomach.
Yeah, I've been reading about balloons. That was another, that along with glitter, never, you know, think about such happy celebratory items being so deadly to our wildlife.
Yes, it's tough. Luckily, there's lots of alternatives out there for both of those items, so we can keep celebrating.
What do you suggest instead of balloons?
We've heard, you know, we have a partner that did a lot of work on this, especially at celebrations like weddings. Instead of doing a balloon release, blowing bubbles, throwing rice, local flower seeds, really checking with your venue to kind of see what you can do there. And then in memorial, you know, a lot of balloon releases happen that way. There are other options like planting a tree for that individual or doing a different type of, maybe it's like a candlelit vigil for them, instead of doing those mass balloon releases, which really do, unfortunately, come back down and end up in the environment.
Well, thank you, Sarah. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And thanks for sharing with us the critical role of reducing waste in our oceans and for letting us know that each of us can play a role in this effort, not just during the holiday season, but year round. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
This is Marianne Wagner, and you've been listening to Coastal Cafe, a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the UW College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Washington Sea Grant helps people and marine life thrive by providing research, technical expertise, and education that support the conservation of our ocean and coastlines. I'd like to thank our station manager, Larry Stein, and production engineer, Jared Dufresne. And as always, a special shout out to the band Kooeeks for sharing their music with us at the open and closing of this program. And thank you for listening. Have a good day.